Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA Show. First and foremost, I do want to apologize for no recap episode this past Monday, which would have covered PFL versus Bellator and UFC Mexico. Had some computer problems with my editing software and whatnot. I essentially recorded the episode two times through, but when it came time to finish it up and download it, it got all messed up in the software, and it was just a very frustrating time. So hopefully there's no issues today. So again, I do just apologize for no podcast episode, but we are back for today's episode, and it's pretty simple. No news that has dropped, no fight announcements. It is simply UFC Vegas 87, headlined by the number 12 ranked heavyweight in the world, Jairzinho Rozenstruik. He will be taking on one fight UFC veteran. Yes, that is right. Shamil Gaziev has only had one fight in the UFC, and he's getting thrown right in to a main event slot and what I believe will be Biggie Boy's sixth UFC main event. So we're going to talk about that fight and some of the other good ranked bouts throughout the rest of the card. There are two top 15 matchups in the men's flyweight division, which is good timing considering we just got Roy Val versus Moreno 2 last weekend. So with that being said, let's get right into it. The main event, Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Shamil Gaziev. This will be Jairzinho Biggie Boy Rozenstruik's 13th UFC fight and his 6th UFC main event. Yes, nearly half of his bouts in the UFC have been fight night headliners. The streak continues here for him. He will go up against Shamil Gaziev, who is making his second ever walk to the UFC octagon this weekend in his first UFC main event. So I have to start this discussion off with this fact that was thrown out on Twitter. I will show it here on the screen as well for those watching on YouTube by Fury's Fight Picks at Luca Fury on X on Twitter. Jairzinho Rozenstruik has more UFC main events than every champion except John Jones. So if we want to look down the list, this will be Rozenstruik's sixth main event, as we just alluded to in the intro. Alexandre Pantoja has 0. Sean O'Malley has 2. Ilya Topuria has 2. Islam Makhachev has 5. Leon Edwards has 6, so he is tied with Rozenstruik. Dricus du Plessis has 1. Alex Pereira has 4. And Tom Aspinall has 3, the fellow heavyweight of Rozenstruik. Even though those two have never faced off, as a matter of fact. Maybe one day. So do with that what you will. It is definitely an interesting fact. And it just kind of just keeps going with these apex fight night main events. Rozenstruik is the king. Biggie Boy debuted in February of 2019, so this will be just 4 years now into his tenure with the organization, and he started hot with 4 straight victories, all 4 coming by KO, TKO, but since then he has lost 5 of his last 8 fights. Those victories are knockouts over Junior Dos Santos, Augusto Sakai, and Chris Daukaus. And if you want to look at the losses, he truly is fighting nothing but the best heavyweights in the world, essentially being ranked ever since way back in November of 2019 when he fought Andrei Arlovsky. You know, these losses are to Francis Ngannou, Cyril Gane, Curtis Blaydes, Alexander Volkov, and Jailton Almeida most recently in May of last year. He's been super active. He's been in fun fights. He's beating, you know, getting in wars where it's either get knocked out or knock someone else out. And I think that is part of the reason why he is thrown at the top of the bill of a lot of these apex fight cards. One, it's heavyweight, and there's always an aura around heavyweight fights in the UFC and just in combat sports in general. You add that in with his resume of having only gone the distance 3 times in 18 total fights. I think that's what the UFC looks for when they throw Rozenstruik on a card, or they spot a card with the potential to be headlined by Biggie Boy. And the 35-year-old veteran of the UFC, it's crazy, he's already such a veteran in just 4 years in the organization, going up against the undefeated 12-0 34-year-old Shamil Gaziev. Shamil got a first-round submission in September of 2023 on the most recent season of Dana White's Contender Series, then followed that up with his UFC debut in December, where he also got a quick finish. It came 56 seconds into the second round, where he TKO'd Martin Boudet. This is definitely a humongous jump in competition, a humongous jump in just your placement on a card if you are Shamil here. He only has one UFC fight, two under the entire umbrella of the UFC, if you will, counting that Contender Series fight. Prior to that, he did have two wins in Brave FC and one win in Ares FC. So those are prominent, you know, international promotions, similar to that of which Cage Warriors is overseas in Europe as well. But I can't help but wonder, what is the UFC thinking here? Like, and I don't mean that in a negative way. That sounded very off-putting. I did not mean it as such. It's just, you don't see very often in just someone's second UFC fight, they are one, thrown into a main event, two, thrown right into the rankings with a number 12 guy in Jairzinho. You know, and I know the heavyweight division isn't super deep. There's not a ton of fights that you can have on the outside of the top 15 before you inevitably have to face someone. But this is a big time push for Shamil. The UFC clearly see something in him. They believe in his potential. And I think maybe you add in one third tier to this, or I guess not a third tier to that recipe I was just talking about, but a factor here and why they are maybe pushing him so quickly is the age. He is 34 years old, so only his second UFC fight, but a lot of people that are two fights into their UFC career are much younger than that of which we see here in this circumstance. And much like Biggie Boy, again, three decisions and 18 total fights, Shamil has gone the distance one time in 12 fights. He has 11 finishes to his name, never been defeated. I think there's a whole lot of ingredients going into this pot, which is leading to this heavyweight scrap in a main event slot. We pretty much know what we're going to get from Biggie Boy every time out. He's looking to strike and he's looking to get a big knockout. Jailton Almeida wasted no time taking him right down to the ground and getting a submission victory. Will Shamil do the same here? I think that is the biggest question going into this fight. He has 8 knockouts. He does have 3 submissions to his name, including that on the Contender Series late last year. Should Biggie Boy remain on the feet, utilize some takedown defense that maybe we haven't seen in his game just yet, it makes things a lot more interesting. But Shamil is the betting favorite going into this fight, and I think justifiably so, resume and experience aside. Let me know what you think about this heavyweight main event in the comments below. What do you make of that stat about Jairzinho Rozenstruik, 6th UFC main event, and what is his 13th total UFC fight? Is it deserving? Are you wishing we got another main event for this card? Are you wishing one of the flyweight top 15 matchups got that 5-round slot instead of this fight, which more than likely won't even need a full round, let alone 5 rounds? And being that that was a relatively quick main event discussion, we will hop into some other notable fights throughout the rest of this card. 2 big ones in the flyweight division. The undefeated 11-0, 23-year-old Muhammad Mohaev, ranked number 8 in the 125-pound division, will look to take his next step up in the flyweight rankings when he goes up against number 7-ranked former title challenger, Alex Perez. In November of 2020, Alex Perez became the first, at the time, Contender Series alum to fight for an undisputed UFC championship. It did not go his way. He lost in the first round via submission to Davison Figueiredo, who would then go on to have a quadrilogy with Brandon Moreno. And since then, Alex Perez has fought just one time, and it came in a losing effort, July of 2022, against the current flyweight champion, Alexandre Pantoja, where he picked up the first round submission. And why has he only fought one time in 3.5 years almost? 9 fight cancellations have happened since that title fight with Davison Figueiredo. 4 bookings with Matt Schnell, who is on this very same card. 2 bookings with Askar Askarov. A fight with Amir Albazi, Kaikar France, and Manel Kopp. All of those matchups have been canceled, most of them to the side of Alex Perez, whether that be injury or weight-cutting issues. Now, not all of 9 of them have fallen on his terms, but just a very, very bad stretch of years for Alex Perez. He's essentially lost a lot of his prime due to this inactivity streak. Now, he is still 31, but you look at it, just 1 fight since November of 2020, not a great stat to have, especially when you pair that with the activity of the 23-year-old undefeated phenom standing across the cage from him. Muhammad Mukhaev debuted in March of 2022 and has quickly amassed a record of 5-0 in the UFC. As I said at the beginning, 11-0 overall. He's finished 8 of his 11 opponents, and my goodness, this guy looks to be a future title challenger, and dare I say a future flyweight champion. 4 of his 5 fights have ended by way of submission, 3 in a row, the last one coming against veteran and former title challenger Tim Elliott. You know what Mukhaev is going to look to do when you go in there to fight with him. He puts on an insane pace, will back you, his opponent up, and look to take you down and dominate throughout the fight. Whether that be over the course of all 3 rounds, all 15 minutes, or getting a submission seemingly at any time he wants. He's had submissions as early as 58 seconds into the fight and as late as just 28 seconds remaining in the entire fight. He finds a way to gain control and hold it throughout all of his bouts. I do wish he would get a 5-round opportunity. I know the inactivity of Perez wouldn't necessarily put him in line to get a main event slot here on this card, but just in general, Mukhaev is ready, I think, to take that next step and see if he can keep this same pace for 25 minutes rather than 15. And the other flyweight scrap is the number 9 ranked aforementioned Matt Schnell and the number 12 ranked Steve Ursig. Matt Schnell has been in the UFC since December of 2016, and he has had his fair share of wins and losses, of big finishes, of getting finished, of absolute dogfight, blood and guts wars. See his fight with Sumat Araji if you don't know what I'm talking about. He was, however, inactive through all of 2023. His last fight was December of 2022. That came in a losing effort to fellow top 10 opponent Matthias Nicolau, where he got knocked out in the second round. And on the opposite side, in the blue corner, we have the 11-1 Australian 28-year-old Steve Ursig, who is 2-0 in the UFC. He made his debut against a top 15 opponent in David Dvorak and got a very convincing decision victory. He followed that win up with a second victory in November of 2023 against Alessandro Costa. And now we will look to crack into the top 10 by taking on the longtime veteran Matt Schnell. I look for this to be a very fun fight for as long or as little as it lasts. Much like at the beginning of the year where we saw middleweight scraps happening every single week, now we kind of have it with the flyweight division. We had Brandon Royval versus Brandon Moreno, the rematch last week. It was number 1 versus number 3. And now we are getting number 7 versus number 8 and number 9 versus number 12. We like to see the division moving. I think this is a division that, while it is in a great spot, it needs some more movement to get new faces to the top. And I think this is a way to do it here. You're putting them close together with the guys fighting in the top of this division, like Royval, like Moreno. And instead, that is allowing these lesser knowns to get to the top quicker and fighting on the same calendar in case a big top 5 matchup would arise next, should one of these 4 guys get a big victory this weekend. And there are a plenty of other fun fights on this card. Not a ton of big names, but one of the biggest names on this card, maybe the biggest, is the number 13 ranked bantamweight in the world and undefeated Umar Nurmagomedov. He will be taking on a debutant in the UFC, Behzat Almakan. A very random matchup that came together on short notice against a lesser known fighter, and the odds are insane. Umar is a minus 1200 betting favorite. The undefeated Javid Basharat is on this card. He's looking to maintain his perfect record. Christian Leroy Duncan and Claudio Ribeiro are sure to have an absolute banger early on in the prelims. So be sure to let me know in the comments below what you think of this card. Give me your predictions for the main event for the 4 flyweights that are going to action this Saturday, and what you think of this Umar Nurmagomedov situation. Someone who in August was scheduled to make a main event against Corey Sandhagen in Nashville is now fighting an unranked UFC debutant. Does this mean everyone else is ducking Umar and he just is taking any fights necessary at this point? I tend to think that is the case, but let me know all your thoughts on that situation and the rest of this card in the comments below. And audio listeners, there's one final thing I wanted to bring up on today's show, and it is a question that was posed in the group chat with my buddies by one of my friends, and it is in regards to a potential 165-pound UFC men's division. So Rafael Fiziev came out and said, in quote, It's not a rumor. I'm hearing that it's already for sure. As far as I know, I've heard that they've already identified something there in regards to the UFC considering a 165-pound division. My buddy's question goes as follows. Do you guys think it actually happens? And if so, I do tend to agree with one of the guys that commented in that it would help 155ers more than 170-pounders. And I do agree it would help 155ers more than 170. You know, I think when we're talking people that are weight cutting, they would like to have that extra 10 pounds rather than gaining 15. And as for welterweights, yes, they don't have that. You know, they also have a 15 pound discrepancy, as do the lightweights. But I just feel like you don't see as many welterweights, you know, saying they would want to go down 5 more pounds. If anything, they would want to go up as well to like 175 or 180. So therefore, I do believe it helps lightweights more. And will it actually happen? Maybe, but to be honest, I have a hard time thinking that it would. Noah in the group chat said Connor versus Chandler. Maybe that is the first ever 165-pound fight. That is a fight that debuts a new weight class and a new title potentially. I don't know, but I want to know what you guys think as well. So be sure to comment below and give me all your thoughts on a potential 165-pound UFC division. And that's it for today's show. I hope you all enjoyed it. Be sure to join the community on social media at the BAJ MMA, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and be sure to follow on your favorite audio listening platform and be sure to give it a rating while you're there. It helps the show grow and this community grow. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Have a great one, and I'll catch you on Monday.